Krishnaswamy, Hall Sarvadhikari. Krishnaswamy first came to Sri Bhagavan in 1936 and served him continuously as a devoted attendant until Sri Bhagavan's Mahanirvana in 1950. He was absorbed in Arunachala Ramana on March 6, 1996 at the age of 96 years. An interview with Krishnaswamy was recorded by Dennis and Jim Hattel in 1989 at Sri Ramanashramam with J.J. Raman asking him about his life with Sri Bhagavan. This interview was translated by devotees of Arunachala Ashrama. Upon Dennis and Jim's return to America, we present below excerpts from Krishnaswamy's inspiring insights, describing the daily routine at the ashram, instructions for aspirants, and Sri Bhagavan's glance of grace. The full interview in Tamil is available on YouTube. I am from Srirangam, near Tiruchi, and it is my Purva Punya that has brought me to the lotus feet of Sri Bhagavan. Only after me did many others come to serve Bhagavan. I served Bhagavan from 1936 up to 1950. I was popularly known as Hall Sarvadhikari. I appointed 7 people to do my job after me. Everyone listened to me and I was all in all. The current president at that time, Sri T.N. Venkataraman, came to Bhagavan only after I did. Sundaram and Ganesan were born after I came here. We used to get up at 3 a.m. and go out for our ablutions. We did this by the side of the stream since there were no bathrooms then. After having a bath, kitchen work would begin with the cutting of vegetables. Once the vegetables were done, we used to help with other preparations. Subramanian Swami, Kumaraswamy and I would help in the kitchen till 6 a.m. Bhagavan would then go to the Goshala and return at 7 a.m. for his bath. The breakfast bell would be rung only after I was ready. After breakfast, Bhagavan would take a walk on the hill between 7:30 and 8. This would be followed by Vedaparayana in the hall. Bhagavan was very punctual in his daily routine. At 9 o'clock, he would again go out either to answer nature's call or just for a stroll. Between 9:30 and 10 a.m., Bhagavan would be at the Gosala where he would peruse the day's mail. Lunch used to be at 11 a.m. in those days and would be over in about an hour. Bhagavan never failed to take a walk after lunch. Even in summer, when the sun would be blazing hot, we used to roam around Padakuttu till 12 o'clock. Bhagavan would rest between 12:30 and 2:30 when the hall would be out of bounds for visitors, although the doors remained open. During this time, I would feed cashews to the large number of squirrels that used to assemble in the hall. Coffee would be served at 2:30. Devotees coming from the town sometimes brought coffee and snacks, which would be distributed too. I used to assemble the devotees in the hall and handle the distribution of the eatables brought by them. I used to manage this single-handedly before Madhavaswami came, but he went away after some time. I then successively appointed Salem Rajagopal Iyer, Sivananda Swami, Anjaneyulu, Vaikunthavasa and Venkatratnam to help me in the hall. Even Satyananda Swami was engaged in service by me. Because I appointed 7 people in the hall, I was called Hall Sarvadhikari. We were very punctual and clean in our daily routine. Bhagavan used to say with a laugh, a person performs namaskaram to the Swami or an idol and expects all his prayers fulfilled and boons granted. Who wants this namaskaram? Even before they prostrate physically, I prostrate to them mentally. Bhagavan would add, who wants all this namaskaram? Try to know who you are. That is the import of namaskaram. I would not be taken in by all this gymnastics. A similar story recorded by Suri Nagamma in Letters from Ramanashramam, number 173, Salutations, 6th April 1948. One day he told me, one could produce God through alchemy, but even if that God tells you something, don't believe it. If I come in front of you in a vision, don't believe it. The seer is most important. You are. That's most important. Concentrate on the seer, not the seen. All that you see is false, and the seer alone is true. All that you read, all knowledge that you gather is useless until you hold on to yourself. You are the truth, not what's being told to you, not what you see. What you read in books may be knowledge, but it is not truth. Bhagavan once told me, you are not born to the mother. What have you to do with the body? All books and sastras say that nobody is born, so the teaching is valid for all. One devotee used to decorate the deity in the mother's shrine during the Navaratri festival. He was an expert in decoration, and the festival would be celebrated in a grand manner. Chinnaswamy wanted Sri Bhagavan to come and see the deities grandly decorated as they were. After observing the deities, Bhagavan remarked, does God want all these clothes? Can one conceive of a God bedecked with jewelry? It is all falsehood and untruth. However, no one, including myself, follows Bhagavan. We do not adhere to anything that he has said. If one surrenders to Bhagavan completely and follows all that he has said, he will definitely lift us up even today. Bhagavan once told me something very significant. He said that he could never differentiate between the male and female sex. He used to add, I am in everything. As the Gita says, that which is inside everybody is the same, only the bodies differ. This was Bhagavan's experience during every minute of the day. Such was the state in which he lived. He is all-pervading, and that is just not so many words. I saw Bhagavan live in that state of all-pervasiveness. There was a small puppy in the ashram that was lame. It would eat anything that was offered. Anantha Narayan Rao, a devotee and a veterinarian, was asked by Bhagavan to take care of the animals. In the morning, this puppy would be given idlis for breakfast. It would then relieve itself in front of the ashram office and create nuisance for people there. When I was informed of this, I was angry at the dog and instructed kitchen staff not to give him idlis. The dog ran to complain to Sri Bhagavan. When I told Bhagavan that the dog was denied idlis in accordance with my instructions, Bhagavan was annoyed and said, "Oho, oho, you are using your power. So many people have used power and have become power mad. Now it's your turn." The next morning, when Sri Bhagavan sat for breakfast, he refused to take idlis and relented only when all of us prostrated before him, begging him to have his breakfast and promising that the puppy would be fed every day. Chinnaswamy came at last, prostrated before Bhagavan, and asked for forgiveness too. Bhagavan said, "What can you do? This fellow, pointing to me, has done this. He has demonstrated his power." The puppy used to go out and eat everything, including human waste, and then come to Bhagavan. He would take his towel and wipe the puppy's face and keep the towel under his armpit. The towel would not be cleaned until the next morning. When we showed our displeasure, Bhagavan used to retort, "Yes, yes, you all pretend to be clean. Only the outside is clean. Is the inside clean?" When he said that, we all felt very ashamed. It is impossible to describe Bhagavan's state. He is the only Jnani in the Kali Yuga. Though there have been many great men throughout the ages, no one can compare to Sri Bhagavan. He is absolutely unique and above everyone else. Bhagavan's glance of grace, Bhagavan's look used to be like that of a lion, so majestic and powerful. Many people used to come with lots of questions, but one look from Bhagavan and they would be silenced. Silence would prevail all over. It is impossible to describe that state and the greatness of Bhagavan's glance of grace, but it was so very palpable. A man came into the hall with a friend, boasting about how many questions he would put to Bhagavan. After a few days, the friend asked him why he hadn't asked any questions. The reply was that it was impossible to do so, as there was no mind to raise questions in Bhagavan's presence. One look from Bhagavan and everything was silenced. He said, Bhagavan's silence and also his look, drishti, were so powerful. I have been a witness to many situations like this. How many great people and politicians came to see Bhagavan? In early 1938 or so, Rajendra Prasad and Jamnalal Bajaj came from Gandhiji with specific instructions to ask Bhagavan when India would get its independence. M.S. Kamnath, the editor of the Sunday Times, a weekly paper from Madras, accompanied them. He used to write articles in his paper, The Sunday Times, a popular newspaper, was circulated all over India and thus had a far-reaching effect. M.S. Kamnath used to come here with his staff to celebrate Bhagavan Jayanti and Mother's Mahapuja. It was Rajendra Prasad who had come with specific questions, but throughout their stay of 7 days, he stayed quiet while Jamna Lal Bajaj asked many questions. Before they left, Rajendra Prasad, with great hesitation, asked Bhagwan, "I am going back to Babuji, Gandhiji. What message can I take to him?" Bhagwan then graciously told him, "The same power is working here and there, and at the appropriate time, everything will be fulfilled." Bhagwan's last days. Bhagwan was in the Nirvana Hall, afflicted with cancer. A very popular Ayurvedic doctor from Calcutta was asked to assist Sri Bhagwan. The doctor, with great devotion, prescribed an Ayurvedic medicine. Bhagwan hesitated and even said that since the body had to be dropped anyhow, what would it matter how? So there were all indications that he was not prepared to take any medications, but somehow it was administered. With this medication, an unfortunate side effect, intestinal pain, occurred. This is what I inferred from a later statement of Bhagwan. The doctor was to go to Rameshwaram after treating Bhagwan, but sent a telegram from Tiruchi that he was coming back. Bhagwan said to me, "The Yama who had gone away is coming back." Bhagwan gave several indications that he wanted no treatment. One day, he threatened to drop his body by not eating anything. For 2 days, no one was allowed to enter the hall. I pleaded with Bhagwan that I would take care of all his bodily needs and that he should eat and stay inside that room. One day, Bhagwan refused to drink water, but the next day, he drank large amounts of water. Many such things happened during those last days. Devotees, of course, wanted to have darshan of their guru, which could not be denied. I told them, "Do not curse me, but please come in a queue and do not ask any questions or expect any answers from Bhagwan." From 5 p.m. onwards on the last day, devotees came in large numbers, and although the police turned them away, they went back and stood in line again and again, weeping and crying. It was a sight that moved me deeply. The devotees were requested to sing Aksharamanamalai, Arunachala Shiva. Bhagwan had told me that Yajnani did not mind how his body is dropped, for the body idea has already died. It was only to the naked eye that Bhagwan was suffering. In reality, there was no suffering, since Bhagwan had no Dehatma Buddhi. Suddenly, Bhagwan asked me to seat him in Padmasana pose, and in that pose, the last breath was taken and he became still. No one is comparable to Bhagwan. Bhagwan's teachings are unique. We have many scriptural writings, but Bhagwan lived in front of us and showed us that he was not the body. He was the perfect being. This I have been blessed to witness during every minute of my stay with Bhagwan, who is my guru, my everything. I can repeatedly assure you that there is no being comparable to Bhagwan. He is the one who had total control of the mind. There is no mind, there is no body. He is the supreme being.